Well, the message today is going to be kind of concerning a little bit about artwork, and may talk a little about to you about Bob Ross. And so, as I wanted to show that to you a little bit this morning, I just want to tell you Bob Ross was an American painter. I used to watch him when I was a kid, believe it or not. I know some of you are probably thinking, man, that's crazy. But he was a television personality. He was very popular on TV, on PBS. We used to watch him, The Joy of Painting. It was broadcasted from 1983 to 1994. He also made a household name as he was the painting teacher to the masses. And he passed away at the age of 52 in 1995 with cancer. I got to reading a little bit about Bob Ross and come to find out that he spent a career in the military, believe it or not. He was in the Navy. He was a master sergeant. Now, think about that. He was one of those drill sergeants that used to yell and scream at everybody. And then we see this and it's like, how in the world can he go from that to this? Well, one of his articles that I was reading, he said, you know, he said, I'm so glad to get ready to be able to retire. He says, I'm tired of yelling at people. He says, when I get out of the Air Force, I think that's what it was, out of the Air Force, he says, I am not going to yell at anybody anymore. And so he's such a soft-spoken guy. It's hard to believe many times that I used to watch him at home. I know that's kind of crazy, but he was always on TV all the time. We had PBS, and we'd flip him on, and I'd watch him paint the happy little trees and the happy clouds, and he did a great job. And little did I know, when I met Candace, my wife, I married into an artist family, believe it or not. Now, she was not the artist, but her grandfather, Max Cole, was an artist. He didn't really claim to be real popular, but he did do several paintings, and I've got some of them up here I want to show you real quick as they throw them up here. Max Cole painted the old McDowell Mill, and I don't know if anybody has seen pictures of the mill, but this is what he painted. He's even got his name signed over there on the side, Max Cole, 1988. The mill is no longer standing, but part of the dam still is. If you know where the mill pond is down there at McDowell, there used to be a, there's a county road that goes around. There used to be a big old bluff house, which is no longer standing anymore. But just down from that was where the mill stood. And the next picture you'll see here is what he painted. I guess this was a feed mill in Purdy. I don't know. Maybe some of the folks that might be just a little bit older than I am might remember this, but it was called the A.G. Madison Feed Mill. And this was another painting that Max painted. Max told me, I remember him talking a lot about the painter that he used to watch. He used to watch Bob Ross all the time. In fact, he told me that that's kind of how he picked up on the wet-on-wet oil painting is what Bob Ross does. So I thought that was interesting. I dug some of those paintings out there at the house, and I kind of want to share them with you today. So I know you're asking the question, what in the world are we looking at artwork in church today, right? I think we're supposed to be in the Word of God. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Brian, man, I just don't know. I don't understand why you're talking about Bob Ross, and then you're throwing up pictures of paintings that your wife's grandfather painted. But it's very interesting when we get into the Word of God. There's a reason why we're doing this today. And there's a great illustration of truth that we're going to find in the Word of God. And if you have your bulletin, you'll notice in the back of the bulletin, we didn't write any points down, but if you're a note taker, what I want you to write down on the very top of that is the title of the message today, and it is Work of Art. Work of Art, if you want to write that down. So let's go ahead and go to the Bible today. Let's start with the book of Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bible with you, if you want to pull it up on your phone or if you want to look it up in the Bible, that's great. We're going to be reading out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 8. Give you just a little bit of time to turn there. But anyway, on the slide you'll see starting with verse 8, the Bible says this, "For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then verse 9 says, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now those verses 8 and 9 sound very familiar, right? They are very popular scriptures in the Word of God. And since these two verses are often quoted, many miss out on the next verse. And I love verse 10. And when we seek to understand this, we need to understand that verse 10 tells us a very important statement. It offers us a tremendous insight into what God desires after salvation. Some people have this mentality that think all they got to do is get saved and after that everything's fine. But there's so much more after salvation. The Word of God tells us this in verse 10. Let's go ahead and read it together. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Look at verse 10 again. What does it say? Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship. Now, some of you may not have that in your version. Your version may say handiwork, or it might say masterpiece. But for the moment, let's just stick with the workmanship for now, if we would. So, workmanship, if we want to define it, basically the definition is this: something effected, made, or produced. Something effected, made, or produced. And if you are any kind of a studier of God's Word, if you're reading that and you see the word workmanship, it may be kind of hard to understand. And so if you like to get in and study, then you'll get the Bible out and you'll begin to look at different references, and then you'll dig out the commentaries. And if you really want to get deep, you dig out the Hebrew and the Greek. And so what I did is I got out the Greek and I began to look up what that word workmanship meant. And this is what I found. It says the Greek word for workmanship is poiomai. And what it gives us the English word artwork. Isn't that amazing? So when you read that verse 10, it should read like this if you use the word artwork. For we are His artwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So when I studied that, I seen that a few years ago, and I was like, wow, that paints a different picture. That helps me understand what God is trying to tell me, that after I got saved, after I become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, now my life is in His hands, and I'm His artwork. And that brought on a total different meaning to me. So we are His work of art. You'll see in the next slide, we are God's work of art. So interesting, as I was looking through this and studying and preparing, God prepared what He wanted us to do for Him a long time ago. And so if you get in and you dig in God's Word, you'll begin to understand, man, God is an all-knowing God. He had all this planned out, what He wanted to do in our lives. He doesn't want us to copy anybody else, what they've done or what they are doing. He has a unique plan, a unique painting for your life, so to speak. And so as we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and as we serve Him in this world, He's at work in our lives. There's certain spiritual gifts that differ from what I have or maybe from what you have. There's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's things that God will lead us to and what we can do in service for Him. In fact, if you're still that note taker today and you want to write some more notes, I'm going to cover 3 points. They will not be on the screen, for the Lord just kind of gave me them this morning. And so as I was kind of writing all this out, write this down. We are God's workmanship in that He created us. We are God's workmanship in that He created us. Now let's just stop there just for a little bit before we move on to our next points. You see, everything God creates has a value. Yet nothing in creation compares to His work in creating mankind. So from the sky to the river, even to the pesky flies that none of us like, God merely spoke and they were created. I mean, that is amazing. You get into the book of Genesis and you read in Genesis chapter 1 and you read in Genesis chapter 2 and you'll see that for 6 days God said, let there be, and there was so. But something else that is also to be noted is that on the sixth day there was something different that took place. You see, on that sixth day, the Bible says that God reached down into the mud and He formed a man, and then He breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we are God's workmanship in that He created us. That breath brought God's own life into His workmanship. Now, we as humans possess this wonderful spirit unlike any of the other animals or life. In fact, I was doing some reading and I couldn't help but to come across in the book of Psalms chapter 139, and I'm going to read it out of Candace's grandfather's Bible, Max Cole's Bible, and this thing is all marked up. He was a great follower of the Lord. But in Psalms chapter 139, verse 13, I want you to see just how much value God has on you all. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in the countenance which were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In God's own word, He talks about the value that He has for us. He created us. Tell your neighbor that. You're saying, okay, who's my neighbor? The one sitting next to you. All right, let's have a group activity. Tell the person next to you, He created us. That is that workmanship. He created us. And then the next point I want to discuss is this: we are God's workmanship in that He redeemed us. So not only did He create us, but He redeemed us. And you're saying, okay, what do you mean by that? Well, you see, God knew that mankind was going to rebel against Him and His plan and His authority. And they did. They defiled God's workmanship and introduced sin into this perfect world. You get in the book of Genesis, you'll see that. From that very hour, God put into motion another plan to redeem them and to restore them to their original design. And that's where God put this plan of redemption to place. And you can get into God's Word and you can read it. And what that plan was is ultimately it was the result in the crucifixion of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be this final sacrifice for our sins. You see, His workmanship was costly as we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And then the third point that I begin to write down was He sanctifies us. So He created us, He redeemed us, and He sanctified us. Most of us in here are still in the sanctification process. Most of us is, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we understand He created us and He's redeemed us, but now we're in that sanctification process. He's fitting us for service, basically, is what He's doing. He forms us the way He wants us for His pleasure and for His purpose. In the book of Jeremiah, you'll read about the occurrence of the potter and the clay. And that's what the Lord is doing with us in our lives. We're the clay and He's the potter. And He's working on us this very moment. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Sometimes He'll use those sculpting tools to bring adversity somehow
or it might be relationships or challenges or miraculous interventions to be able to mold us into the image of Christ. Some of us don't like some of those rough times that we go through. But sometimes when we're weak and when we're down, Paul said that he found great strength when he had the thorn in the flesh in his life. He said when he was in that weakness, he felt like he was the strongest spiritually. And in that sanctification process, God is trying to do a great work in our lives. And the goal is good works. Just like what we read in verse 10, that's what he's doing. We're his workmanship, we're his artwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared before so that we should walk in them. It's a sanctification process. He sanctifies us. You see, God is our designer and he is the builder of our faith. We cannot save ourselves. You say, well, Brother Brian, I'm kind of one of those people that like to kind of take my life in my own hands. Sometimes we find ourselves, we get into a lot of trouble when we begin to do that. God, help us understand, we don't need to be in our own hands. We need to put our life in God's hands. And I know you're probably saying, well, he's got his work cut out on me, right? I know exactly what you're saying. Sometimes I still feel that way. You know, sometimes you might be saying, well, now I'm a difficult case. But God specializes in difficult cases. He says, man, there's no hope for me. There's no way. I've been through so many rough times. God doesn't love me. There's nowhere in Scripture where I see where God says that he doesn't love you. He loves you. Sometimes he allows us to go through some of those situations to kind of wake us up and help us realize his love for us. That's that sanctification process. We were all there at one time in our lives. Some of us can still be stubborn. Can I see a raise of hands? Okay, you don't have to do that. I know what you're doing. You're looking at your spouse. I know I see it already. You're pointing fingers. You're probably thinking, well, he's the stubborn one or she's the stubborn one. Don't look at each other. Don't point fingers. You're one of a kind. Ask Candace. She married me. She's like, man, he's one of a kind. And you know, that's how God is. There's none of us that are the same. Each one of us is unique. There is not a painting that Bob Ross has painted that is exactly the same. There's always something that might be different or might be tweaked. There's no one tree that's the same. They're all happy trees. They're all happy clouds. God's got a great thing in store for me and you. But before he can accomplish his work, we've got to realize that I just need to put my life in his hands. He's still working on me. Anybody know that song? You guys remember that song as a child? You used to sing it. He's still working on me. Let me just read some of the verses and the chorus to it. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. You know the song? Don't judge him yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hands. And then it starts, he's the orphan. You know what I'm talking about. As an adult, not only was that important as a child, but I as an adult, that song needs to be upon my heart. Do you know what it means to be fashioned by the Master's loving hands? Do you know what that means? God help us today. The Christian is God's workmanship, or as the English Greek word says, his artwork. What is art? Art's beautiful. You've seen what Bob Ross could do, right? Imagine what God would do if you were in his hands. Imagine that. You see, artwork is valuable. And in God's eyes, we're valuable. Artwork is an expression of the very inner being of the artist. Imagine what that means. The very inner being of God is painting our life out. It kind of sends goosebumps over my life to understand that, man, I better be an obedient canvas so that as God takes His brush and begins to paint my life out, that I don't get in the way and mess it up. Artwork's beautiful. It's valuable. It's an expression of the artist, the divine artist, God Himself. That's amazing when you begin to think about that. You see, when Jesus gave Himself on the cross, He didn't say, I'm going to die just so you may know that I love you. He says, I'm dying for your splendor. I'm going to recreate you into something beautiful. I will turn something splendid and magnificent through the creation created in Christ Jesus. You see, as Christians today, we're new creatures in Christ. The Bible says old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Brian's no longer like he used to be. Now, there are times I do struggle, as we all do at times. Sometimes the old self wants to kind of creep in to our lives. But we've got to understand that we need to quit being in our own hands and let God do a great work in our lives. You see, He says this. He says, I'm the artist, you're the art. He says, I'm the painter, you're the canvas. Jesus in Scripture is the artist of our lives. And you are beloved, and you're His masterpiece. You are a work of art. Now, I know you can think about that and you can think, man, I am a work of art, right? But when you look at it from the Scripture and you look at it from this illustration and this point of view, it's pretty humbling. Because if I'm that artwork as a Christian, if I'm what the Lord says I'm supposed to be, that I'm supposed to be a beautiful picture to a lost and a dying world. You see, my attitude must reflect of what's happening on the inside of my heart. Yeah, God's still working on me. He's not working on the outer. He's working on the inner. How He's created the sun and the earth and the moon and the stars. He's working on our soul. He's working on us. You see, we have that unfinished part. Something I learned about painting, too, is that as you start painting, you don't just expect to get it done in one day. You have to be very patient. And I understand Max would paint a little bit, and then he would go back doing something else and then come back and paint some more. I think our life is kind of like that. Some of us have been here on this earth for a long time. You're still a work in progress. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I'm retired. I don't have to. I'm at a certain age. I can't teach anymore. Or, you know, we have all kinds of excuses. We think we reach a certain age. God's done with us. He's not done with you. When He's done with His artwork, He'll take you home. But if you're here today and you're breathing, you are a continual piece of artwork in God's eyes. Don't forget that. Whether you're 30 or you're 40 or you're in your 50s, God's still working on us. He's still trying to form us into that masterpiece. And sometimes, whatever that vessel is, God sometimes can change that. He may start the painting of whatever it is in our lives, and we may reach a time in our life as we begin to dive into God's Word more and as we mature more, then sometimes that painting may change, or that artwork might change for whatever God's purpose is at that particular time. So with all of this said, we have a responsibility. And I know you don't like homework, right? Kids, right? I mean, you don't like homework. Sometimes it's important. I'm giving you all some homework. Get into the Word of God and start studying it. We've got a responsibility to learn all that we can learn. I'm not giving you an assignment with certain things to do. But if you want to mature, and if you want to know the plan that God has for your life, you've got to get in and you've got to dig. You've got to dig that well. You just can't say, well, Jesus, I'm going to be your follower, and you come forward and seek the Lord and ask forgiveness of your sin and then go on your own way and live however you want. That's not what God wants. God says, you know, I'm saving you. I've got this wonderful plan, but I need you to be workable, right? I need you to be pliable. He's telling me and you today, and I know we're really getting down where the rubber meets the road here, but He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be committed and devoted so God can paint a masterpiece, right? So when you begin to think about paint, I understand you can't use paint in cold conditions. It's just not pliable. It's just not workable. It's best used at room temperature. And as most preachers are, they begin to think, well, I've got a parallel with that. God can't work with you if your heart's cold. God can't work with you if you're hard-hearted. You've got to be willing to want to step forward and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm not much to look at, but man, I wasn't raised up in Sunday school class. I've got all these bad habits. I'm doing this and doing that, and I talk like a sailor, and but God, I'm here. I'm, and that's what the Lord's wanting to say. He's wanting you to be willing to be used. He's wanting you to be workable and humble and pliable. I don't know about any painters, but I've never painted on canvas before, but I've painted houses, right? How many of you have painted a house before? I mean, I bet every one of us has had a paintbrush in her hand. I can paint. I don't really love it like my wife does, but I can do it. One thing I don't like about it is trying to get the paint ready to paint. Now, most of us, if we're getting ready to paint, we'll go to Lowe's, we'll go where we're going to go, and we're going to get our paint, and then we take it up there to the little station, and they do their mixing or whatever they're going to do, and then they stick it in this thing. You know what this thing is. I don't know what it's called. It's a shaker, I guess. But they'll shake that can. I mean, it'll do all kinds of things. Where they're getting that thing all loosened up and pliable and usable. That way, when you get home, it's not going to be lumpy. And that it can be used. And, of course, as preachers are, we think of parallels. And I'm thinking, you know what? Sometimes God has to shake us. Because we've laid idle for way too long. Sometimes He allows us to go through situations, and I don't understand, and I've been through some pretty tough times. But this morning, I began to write that out, because I didn't write it down this week. It just kind of came to me, and the Lord spoke to me. And I wrote that down parallel of paint cans at home and how we need shook up sometimes. Sometimes it's okay if the preacher steps on your toes, right? That's called a good shaking. Sometimes it's good that the Lord kind of sweeps us out from underneath our feet at times, because He's trying to get us on our back so we can look up and get over ourselves. It's good to have that done. Do we like it? No. Do you think Paul liked it in Scripture? Do you think it was all, and this is not a
a good word to use, but do you think it was all hunky-dory, if that's a word? In Paul's life, it wasn't. Sometimes in our life, it's not that way. God wants to work with somebody who is willing to step up. And I'm asking you to step up. I'm asking you to take a stand and let God do a great work in your life. You say, well, there's no way I can do it. You can do it. You put your mind and put your heart to it, you can do it. So as I was preparing all this, I began to even think more. And as the Lord kind of began to expound my mind, I thought, what about the church? What about the church, the people? The church as a whole is also God's workmanship. You see, He has given the church and the body of believers gifts and scriptures, and He's inclined that Holy Spirit within us to be able to carry out His work into the world. He's given us the opportunity to come together and to collaborate as a community of believers, to put our resources together, our talents together, so that we can go out and let the light of Jesus shine. When God put together the church, that's what He wanted, as to spread the light of the gospel to the lost and the dying world to the degree that it will allow His light to shine through us so that we can display His workmanship, so that we can be His masterpiece, so we can be His handiwork or artwork. I'm going to ask Ben and them to come forward if they would at this time. I've got some thoughts in my mind as we begin to go into this next portion. I hope this all made sense to you, because as I was putting it together and as the Lord has spoken to my heart over the last several years, I begin to look at the word workmanship in a whole different level. As the Greek word, meaning is this artwork. So my question is, and we're going to throw it up here on the screen, is this. What kind of artwork are you displaying? Don't you think about that? If you would take a stand today, what kind of masterpiece would people see? Do you think that they would see something beautiful and magnificent that lives for Jesus? Or do you think that they would see an artwork that it doesn't make sense? You see, God today, He wants us to be something beautiful, and He's actually commanded us to go into the world and shed the light. We've got some tough times ahead of us, church. And I'm afraid I'm seeing a lot of people leave the Master's hand. They're taking matters in their own hands. Or they're letting the world mold them instead of Jesus. You see, the world will paint a picture of distraught, of worry and anguish. But Jesus paints a different picture. It's of value. It's of love. It's of beauty. Let's not be quitters. It's rough. This past year's been rough. We've seen all people come. We've seen people go. We've seen people warm. We've seen people cold. It's almost like so many times we get on fire and we're excited and something happens. We're just like that old paint can set over there on the concrete floor. And we begin to get hard. It's because we're not being usable anymore. You see, sitting there on that concrete floor, it begins to radiate that coldness from the concrete, and the bottom of that paint gets so hard and calloused. And you see, if we look at this world today, we watch the news, You look at the social media, you can get hard and cold very fast. But when you come into the presence of God's house and His people and His Word and His church and become divine and let the divine artist have his work in you, all of a sudden, you're going to be doing great things for the Lord. Would you stand with me today? I want to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask you. I want you to be thinking about what kind of artwork you are displaying today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you today. We're thankful, Lord, for the honest truth of thy word, God. There's more than just salvation. For God, after salvation, we are your workmanship. We are your artwork. We have a duty, Lord, to let your light shine, to be those that the good works of you might shine into a lost and a dying world. Lord, who we become will affect our home, will affect our family, will affect our church and our kids. Mom and dads, today, if there is ever a day today that we need to be more pliable and moldable, it is today. Churches, if there is ever a time today that we need to be more on fire and less cold, it's today. What kind of artwork, Lord, are we displaying? What kind of witness are we leaving? What kind of light is shining? Are we out on top of that hill shining, Lord? Or are we hiding under the bushel? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us all in this church house today to get a perspective of who we need to be and what we need to do. We need to be in your divine hands. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.